Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for the privilege, the honor, and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke and remind you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the anointing one we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. We're going to continue our teaching on the subject, God wants you to be successful. Once again, God wants you to be successful. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Again, Galatians chapter 6. And I'm going to read this particular scripture only from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible. So there might be some words that are different from your Bible, but please do not be concerned. We will get to the same place at the same time. I guarantee you that. So Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. And it says, "So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up. For we will reap a harvest of blessings at the appropriate time." So we see here that it tells us, do not get tired of doing good. It says, do not be discouraged and give up. He says, because if we don't, we will reap a harvest at the appropriate time. Amen. So I like a harvest of blessings. I don't know about you. I want the harvest of blessings. See, it has always been the plan of our Heavenly Father that His children live the abundant life and successful life. God wants us to succeed in everything that we do. He wants for His children only what the Word says. He wants to bring to bear on the issues of life the things that will result in the greatest degree of blessings, the greatest degree of freedom in the Lord, the greatest degree of love, the greatest degree of fulfillment, and finally, the greatest degree of successfulness in one's life. That is God's desire. As ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to teach the people. A responsibility to teach the people. Amen. Please go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 24 through 26. And it says, "The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. They must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. They should gently teach those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's heart and they will believe the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants." See, God wants His children to be successful, spirit, soul, and body. And we do it by faith. See, once we clearly understand the principles of faith, then we can move on to achieve God's best in our lives. Along with the teaching of faith, we're going to reveal 10 points that I believe, if properly applied to one's life, they will bring the success that has always been the intent and the plan for God's people. Amen. So let's go to point number one. You must have a disciplined life. Once again, you must have a disciplined life. No one can be successful in the things of God if they are not disciplined. Amen. You know, the Word tells us, God says, let all things be done decently and in order. So success comes by having discipline. There are many pastors, evangelists, and ministers of the gospel, and too many laypersons that are in the ministries of helps that are undisciplined. Their lives are undisciplined. To be successful, one must be disciplined. Let me repeat that. To be successful, one must be disciplined. This not only applies to the Christian family, but it also applies to the areas of life. Dr. G. Balamurari, who is considered one of the world's best neurosurgeons, could have never achieved such status if he had been undisciplined in his medical study, research, and application in this field. The great Bill Russell, who won 11 championships in 13 seasons with the Boston Celtics, although he was given God-given talent and ability, he still had to be disciplined to keep his physical body and mental stability together to be able to consistently compete at such a high level of competition. Amen. And then finally, Apostle Frederick K.C. Price disciplined himself through faith in order to have a successful ministry that God allowed him to have, he would never have achieved what God had for him if he had not been disciplined. All three of these men had one thing in common, and that was discipline. They could not have never succeeded in the areas of their anointing if God has not showed them how to be disciplined, and they applied that discipline to their lives. So you might have some individuals that achieve success, but we're not talking about a quick dollar. Anyone can be a one quick success story and achieve some monetary success. But we're not talking about that kind of success, but success that is going to be long-lasting and life-changing, that can be left for generations to come. The Word of God tells us that we need to leave an inheritance for our children's children. For you to be successful, you must have a disciplined life. Amen. No question about it. Now, please go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 36. And it says, patient endurance is what you need now, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. It tells us patient endurance or diligence or discipline. It says once you do that, then you continue in God's word, and then you receive the promises. But it's not until you have endurance or discipline and then continue to do God's will that you receive all that he has promised. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 27. And it says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what I should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So Paul is saying that he disciplined his body like an athlete. We just mentioned Bill Russell. He was an athlete. He had to discipline his body. And we have to discipline our bodies. Amen. Now, in the original King James Version of the Bible, that same verse, 1 Corinthians 9:27, it reads like this. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Apostle Paul's opponent here that he's speaking about is himself. It was himself because he had to learn to keep his body under, in control, discipline, in control. Amen. And we must discipline our bodies if we want to accomplish our goals. God has assignments for each of us. And in order for us to accomplish those goals, discipline is a must. Discipline is a must. We have to forego certain rights and privileges if we want to win others to Christ. There are certain things you know that you used to do and that you used to enjoy. They were pleasurable to you, but you cannot continue to do those. You have to put those aside and you have to put those under. You have to discipline your body in order to win others. Amen. As I have mentioned earlier, before I accepted Christ in my life, I was totally out of control. Out of control in the sense that I didn't have control of my finances. I had a very good job and I was making an excellent salary, but I was not disciplined in handling my money. I owed everybody, credit cards maxed out, and I was a total failure. I just did not pay my bills. I had the money, I just didn't pay. I didn't have any discipline in my life. Whatever the way the wind blew, that was the way I went. I was a mess. And I didn't have anyone, an example in front of me to show me or to direct me how to do better. But praise be to God, I found a wife who is truly a good thing, and I received Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord. I got filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We joined an excellent church, and our lives changed for the better. And we haven't been the same since. I became more disciplined in my areas of life that needed change. And I had to consistently keep my body under, because if I didn't keep it under, it will attempt to do the same things that got me into trouble, and those things did not line with the Word of God. Amen. If you want to be successful, you have to discipline your body, and it starts with your body. If God cannot trust you with the little things, how will He trust you with the big things? If God cannot trust me with $50, how do you expect Him to trust me with $50,000? There's no way He's going to do that. It costs something to be disciplined. Now, it would make you scream and holler at times because your body does not want to conform. But you have to make it conform and bring it into subjection, into control, into subjection, in control of the Word of God and to your own spirit. It is a lifestyle you have to live with at all time. Let me repeat that. It is a lifestyle you have to live with at all times. That is what discipline is. It's a lifestyle. Amen. Now, let me give you what I call the five C's, ABC, for effective discipline. I call these the five C for effective discipline. C number one is clarity. Clarity. It establishes clear, simple, and specific expectations, rules, and boundaries, so there is no confusion. C number two is consistency. Consistency consistently enforces rules and consequences, ensuring the same expectations apply over time. C number three, communications. Communications. Communications discuss the rules and the reasons behind them, frequently encouraging and supporting your decisions. C number four is compassion. Compassion. Apply discipline with love, encouragement, and understanding, focusing on repairing poor habits. Amen. And finally, C number five is consequences. Consequences create a supportive environment that encourages responsibility and apply the appropriate consequence when rules are broken. Those are the five C's that I believe, if you apply them along with the Word of God, you will have a consistent life of discipline. Amen. A disciplined life is what you have to have in order to be successful in your Christian life, as well as the ministry. Amen. You got to have a disciplined life. Point number two, the Word of God must have first place in your life. The Word of God must have first place in your life. Please go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Again, that's Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 33. And it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, Jesus is telling us that we should seek first. It says first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. But I'd like you to notice something. He did not say to seek only. He did not say to seek only, but he said to seek first. So God is letting us know there's an order that we have to do in order to live and to have put him first place in our life, because he is the first one that we should see in the morning, is seek him. Amen. We shouldn't seek the television. We shouldn't seek the news. We should seek him. See, God's righteous rule should be our desire on earth. It should be our righteous rule on earth. As it is in heaven, it shall be on earth. Amen. This can be accomplished through the body of Christ, being on one accord, one mind, one spirit, seeking him and all speaking the same thing. See, our Heavenly Father would never, ever have us do something that he knew that we could not accomplish. But we can accomplish this. The only reason why we cannot accomplish this is because we do not want to accomplish this. That might be the reason everybody wants to be the drum major. See, everybody cannot be the drum major. Somebody's going to have to be in the band. But once you're in the band, that gives you a preparation period to be able to understand, to seek study and wisdom and the knowledge of God's word. So when you are called to be the drum major, you can be the drum major. But like I said, we all have to understand that we need to get together on one accord, one mind, one spirit, seeking him first and all speaking the same thing. Amen. See, our Father is a jealous God, and he doesn't want us to worship anyone in the spirit of holiness except himself. Amen. He's the only one that we should be worshiping, and him only. So the third point is prayer. The third point is prayer. Prayer is the third thing necessary for a successful ministry. You cannot be successful in ministry without prayer. Let me repeat that. You cannot be successful in prayer, in ministry without prayer. Turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read verse number 17. And it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now go with me, please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verse 18. And it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now please go with me to the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. And it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and do not lose heart. And finally, you're there in the book of Luke, go to Luke 21. Again, Luke 21, and we're going to read verse 36. And it says, therefore, and this is Jesus speaking, it says, therefore, watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all things that will come to pass to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. So we see here that we should consistently pray. We should pray always. And we should watch and pray. Amen. So Christians should maintain a prayerful pray life. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean praying consistently, but being persistent and consistent in your prayer life. The failure of all Christian enterprises is a failure to pray. Let me repeat that. The prayer of all Christian enterprises is a failure to pray. Do not get involved in too many activities that you cannot find time to pray. You must have time in your life to pray. The Bible gives us several examples of different types of prayer. Amen. For us. But each one of these prayers have different biblical rules. You cannot play the game of chess using checkers or basketball using football rules. Each one, each game, or each sport has its own specific rules, and so does prayer. Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time for today's message, but join us next week when we continue our teaching on God wants you to be successful. Until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.